Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN. Can you break your addictions? And what are really true addictions and what are just bad habits? Joining us on the phone is Scott Spackey, Certified Addiction Treatment Counselor. ProjectAddiction.com is the website. Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for inviting me, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So let's talk about what is truly an addiction and what is just a bad habit. Because I would say, Scott, I can't break the habit. For me, it's like food. You know, it's a bad habit. I buy food through the drive-through window. I shouldn't do that. I should change my habits. But I can't qualify that as an addiction like smoking or other things like that, right?
I think that's correct, absolutely. And that's an important point because, yes, there is a difference between the two of them. And the difference would be severity. I mean, an addiction is very severe, and a habit is something that's irritating and annoying, and it's an inconvenience, but it's not as severe. So an addiction costs us things. It does damage financially, emotionally, mentally to those around us, etc., whereas a habit is more of an irritation and an annoyance. So once it becomes something that is more damaging, then it's crossing the line into the addiction area.
So food can be an addiction. Things like that can be an addiction. But I guess it just depends on how much damage it's doing to you. So if I went to the drive-thru every day and I gained a lot of weight, would that still be, well, Matt, you just have bad habits that you have to change. That's not truly an addiction?
That's a great point. And yes, I would say that if that going to that drive-thru and getting that food becomes something more of a compulsion, something that you repeatedly try to resist but can't, then again, it's crossed the line into the addiction category more than the habit. The habit is something that's difficult to break, but again, it's more of an inconvenience, so we don't feel a compulsion. A drug addict or any type of addiction, gambling, any type of behavioral addiction, again, there's more of a compulsive nature to it. There's something that is a very huge driving force, and basically what it does is it activates the survival mechanism in our own minds.
So, Scott, with something like smoking, which I still think is probably one of the number one addictions for Americans, I know drug use is a huge issue, but for the common American, something like smoking, and my mom who did it for years, quit for years, and then went back, now in her 70s, even when she had quit for like 4 years, she would tell me how she would dream about having a cigarette. It was still such a huge part of her life. Is it just a chemical thing? Why are some addictions so strong for us?
You know, it works on both. There definitely is, when it comes to an actual addiction, especially a substance like nicotine, tobacco, or a drug, then it works on both levels. There is a chemical, physiological component and a behavioral one. So there's a psychological and a chemical one, both working. So we're basically fighting the war on two fronts at one time. So she's getting hit from both sides, and it's very overwhelming. That's a very difficult thing to manage, especially when you don't have the expertise, the training, and the experience in doing this.
All right, so when somebody's trying to quit something like smoking, where there's this chemical dependency, and I'll just keep it at that one because I know drugs can be different in their different chemicals, but so a chemical dependency, I'm guessing, you can kind of overcome through the nicotine gum, through withdrawal, through certain things. Is it then the mental side that makes us keep coming back when we've gotten the nicotine out of our system for 4 years? Is there something mental that makes us drive back to doing something like that?
Well, I'll tell you that, first of all, I do not recommend the nicotine patches and gums at all.
Oh, really?
They do not have a very high effective rate at all. And mostly when they do make a positive contribution, it's more of a placebo effect. So we think it's going to work, and so it persuades us to believe that it is. So it increases our will and our strength. But most of the time, it really isn't doing anything. We're adding the same drug in. And so, yes, there is those two components. The behavioral psychological part of it is what kind of haunts us. And the bottom line is this. By the time you realize you have a bad habit and addiction, you've had it for a long time. So by the time you acknowledge and recognize and categorize it as a bad habit or an addiction, it's been there a long time, which means the longer something is there, the harder it is to unravel and undo. It's getting stronger day by day. So, yes, that her getting kind of dreams and nightmares about it, that's a very common thing.
Okay, so what do people do to overcome an addiction? I mean, when Shante said, let's talk to Scott, she said he can explain how people can cure a bad habit within 2 minutes.
And again, we have a difference between habits and addiction.
Yeah.
An addiction would take more than 2 minutes. But habits can be. Yes, I can give you the basic formula for solving a habit in 2 minutes. There are three main. Yes.
All right, but then before we get to that, let's do this then, since we're on the cigarette stuff, and that is such a big deal still for people. What can people do? You said, you know, you don't recommend putting more drugs into your system to help you wean off of it. So when you talk to people about smoking specifically, what do you tell them? What's the best way for somebody, or what have you had the most success with, at least, for someone to try to really finally, truly quit smoking?
I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to give you an actual easy way. And again, this is more of an addiction than a habit, so it's a little bit more complicated.
Right.
But on the Project Addiction website is the smoking chapter from my book is there in audio. You can listen to it. You can read it. And it gives you a very simple, very difficult to do because any breaking any habit or addiction is difficult, but it gives you an actual outline strategy to tell you exactly how to do it, and it tells you how to wean off it. And the bottom line is this. I'll kind of give you the shorthand version of it. The bottom line is this. For the first week, take your quantity and cut it in half. So if you smoke 20 cigarettes a pack a day, then you go to going to 10. You do that for 1 week. You don't quit cold turkey, because the more you try to resist, the more your subconscious will feel that resistance. It'll resist back. Anything that gets pushed is going to push back. The second week, he cut the amount in half again. So now we've gone to 20, from 20 to 10, and then in the second week, we're going from 20 to 5. And we keep doing this week after week, and in 6 weeks you'll get down to zero. And by the time you get down to zero, and it will be challenging to get there. So this is the basic kind of outline of weaning yourself off it. Now that particular addiction, unlike heroin, you can wean yourself off it, and it is more effective and it's safer to do. Some things, some chemicals, like heroin, you can't wean yourself off it. You have to quit cold turkey right away. The problem is, again, with smoking, if you try to quit cold turkey, you're basically pushing against that habit and addiction. And when you push something, what's going to happen?
You're going to push back. Your body's going to push back. Your mind's going to push back.
That's nature.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm sitting across in the room with somebody, and I'm not pushing them, and they're not pushing me. But the moment they get up and push me, unprovoked or not, I'm going to push back. That's just nature. That's our natural instinct. So the moment we try to push this thing, it's going to push back. The problem is it knows how we think and what we think about, and we don't know much about it.
Yeah.
So we got to get to know it intimately well, because it knows us intimately well.
For something like that, Scott, is it as much mental as the physical? You know, by cutting back the cigarettes, you're cutting them in half, and that, you know, the addiction and the nicotine, whatever you're putting in, you're cutting in half week by week. But mentally, my mom would always say, you know, that she needs something to do with her hands. It's almost like a habit. I got something to do with my hands. So then I think this happens to a lot of smokers when they quit, is they gain a lot of weight, maybe because they're making up for something with their hands or just to fulfill their needs or I don't know what. But how do you, you know, do? Is it more mental than physical when we're trying to shake a habit like that?
Sure. Those are important elements. And what we would, you know, kind of clinically call that is what we call the oral fixation, the distraction that it provides. We get used to having in our hand, putting it to our mouths, et cetera. And that requires a different type of a strategy, and that's called a replacement strategy. So instead of having that, because she's conditioned to have that, the comfort from that cigarette in her hand, we give her something else. And that's where, if you remember back in the 70s, the Telly Savalas character on TV was sucking on the lollipop. That's what we call a replacement, and that actually does work. Something like gum, not nicotine gum, I'm not for that, but gum, a lollipop, any type of thing that replaces that manual oral fixation.
All right, so we only have a minute or so left. Tell me about just a simple bad habit then. If I just want to, you know, I don't empty out my inbox, I never clean the house, or something that you would categorize as a bad habit. Give me 2 minutes on how I can break that.
Sure. Okay, let's say not cleaning out your inbox. First of all, there's three strategies to this. One, we have to be somewhat aware, consciously aware of how bad or how much better our life would be if we did do this. And so every night before you go to bed, and for a few minutes as you wake up, before you get out of bed, spend a couple of minutes just thinking about how your life would be improved with this habit gone. Not how bad it is because it's there, but how better it would be if it was not there. So that creates some motivation. Okay? Once we have the motivation and we're intimately connected to that, that's when we build a strategy. And again, that type of a habit is not something that you try to do cold turkey because it's going to resist. Instead, we do it in gradating stages. So basically what I would say to that person, I'd say, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make an appointment. Set it on your phone, in your calendar, whatever it is, the same way as if you're going to the doctor or having a business meeting. I want you to set a scheduled appointment to clean out that inbox. And I want you to make it not the entire thing. I mean, it would take me, as it does most people, a couple of hours to clean out my inbox and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it clutters up fast. And so instead, you're going to do 15 minutes at a time. Again, for the first week, you're going to spend 15 minutes every other day to do that. You put it in your phone like a calendar, an alarm goes off, and you dedicate a time to do that. 15 minutes, and that's it. The next week, you turn it into 20 minutes. within 3 weeks, every time stuff comes in that you really don't need, you'll automatically start throwing it away because there will be that part of your mind that's trying to avoid that laborious, irritating task of going through and cleaning it out. And now you've replaced the bad habit with a good habit. So instead of breaking a habit, because remember, when you break, you're using force. When you use force, it's going to resist back. Mm-hmm. Instead of breaking it, what we're doing is we're replacing it with a good habit. And the good habit is we're getting rid of the junk right when it shows up.
So if we then take that to the drive-through problems that I have, instead of forcing myself maybe not into the drive-through, maybe I'm replacing that with getting something healthy through the drive-through. Where, you know, instead of getting a Big Mac, you get the yogurt parfait or something to at least change what you're doing in that instance.
I'll tell you exactly. Okay, literally, if somebody says to me that they have a problem with Big Macs and they do it every day, here's what I would say to them to do: go through the drive-through just like you normally do. Get that Big Mac. The moment it gets in your hand, I want you to cut it in half and throw half of it right in the trash. Mm. Okay? Now, that symbolizes, because we feel a sense of waste and we don't want to do it. And so it symbolizes a lot. It sends a very powerful message to the subconscious mind who's actually in charge. So go ahead and order the Big Mac and cut it in half and throw half of it away and then eat the other half. Satisfy that urge that you have, but it won't be completely satisfied because you only have had half. Do that for a week. Then in the second week, cut the half you're going to eat in half. So now you're only eating a fourth. Do that for a week. Hmm. Once again, within 3 weeks, the habit will be solved. Eventually, you'll have a day where you'll realize, you go, wow, I didn't go to the drive-thru today. I didn't even realize that it just wasn't even on my mind.
Yeah.
The eerie thing is that when we do break through with it, it just kind of evaporates, and there isn't this like big landmark moment where we're like aware that it just disappeared. We realize, like, oh, yeah, I don't do that anymore. Huh, that's weird.
And then
so, again, that habits especially, and that's a really good one, the example that you gave, a gradated weaning off strategy is the better way to ease the mind in so it doesn't resist as much.
And I guess the key to it is, though, Scott, you just have to cut that thing in half. You have to make yourself do that. It'd be easy to say, I'm not going to waste that after all.
And that's why the moment it gets in your hand, before you even drive out of the drive-thru, because every moment that you wait, your subconscious mind is going to put up a very strong argument why you shouldn't and can't waste it, and how it's okay this time, and blah, 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 blah. It's going to lie. So the moment it gets in your hand, right in front of that clerk that looks at you like you're crazy, rip it in half and throw half of it right out the window, right in the trash.
Scott Spackey, a certified addiction treatment counselor You can find out more at projectaddiction.com. Scott, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, man. Thank you.
All right, what do you think? Is it really as easy as Scott's making it sound? I'm guessing not for most of us. 312-981-7200. Let's talk about it next. Matt Bubala with you. Radio 720 WGN.